male and female sex differences, contraception, transgenderism. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Ethics of Sex, From Taboo to Delight. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Ethics of Sex contributors include Issues Etc. guests Ben Mays, Tom Eckstein, and Richard Stuckwish. Ethics of Sex, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
A secular person has just as good a claim to understanding the truth as a person who is religious, correct?
Well, I'm not sure.
After the Trump election, for the left, you can expect any tweaking of the current sexual revolution legal regime to be viewed as apocalyptic.
The body parts are only valuable for Planned Parenthood and their business partners to sell precisely because they're human just like us.
That's what you should be praying for the blood of the Christ to cover you and your children.
Hi, this is Dan up in Washington State. I'm a Lutheran luthier, which means I make guitars, and I love to listen to Issues Etc.
We often hear an alarming statistic about the divorce rate. We are told, sometimes with great assurance, that between 40 and 50% of all marriages end in divorce. Now, we do see a lot of divorces. There's no doubt about that. A divorce has never been easier to procure or perhaps more popular to procure. But is that number accurate? And does that mean, say, for instance, my wife and I now married 30 years, that we've got a 50% chance of being divorced even now? We're going to be talking divorce research with Glenn Stanton, Director of Global Family Formation Studies that focus on the family, here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome live on this Friday afternoon, January the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk with Andrew Walker of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission about the Obama administration's legacy on religious liberty. Pastor Hans Feeney will discuss Garrison Keillor's announcement that he's looking for a new religion, one that isn't Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about the death of Bishop Eddie Long and his final prophecies with Chris Roseborough. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, sending us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can also vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about divorce research, Glenn Stanton. He's Director of Global Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family and author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference, Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and an article for The Federalist titled Why Your Risk of Divorce is Probably a Lot Lower Than You Think. Glenn, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
That 40 to 50% all marriages end in divorce rate, is that accurate?
Well, yes and no, in some sense. I mean, first of all, you know, we hear so many rebuttals of that, that, you know, yes or no, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. First of all, we need to understand what that is. That's not an actual hard mathematical number. The range is between 40 and 50%, but here's what this is. It's sort of like a life table estimation that, like, the insurance companies would have. You know, you get a new insurance policy and they take your blood pressure and all that kind of stuff and they say, you know, how old are you? And they figure, okay, you've got on average 30 more years to live. That is what this figure is. I mean, it's very complicated and very sophisticated kind of calculation that sociologists make looking at people marrying today, people marrying in the last couple of decades. What is their likelihood in their first marriage of making it to 10 to 20 years? And typically the number doesn't go quite up to 50%. It's in the low 40s. And typically, you know, the best sociologists will say about 42 to 45% of people marrying today are likely to not make it to, you know, their 10th or 20th wedding anniversary. So, yes, I mean, the 50% divorce rate is generally true, but you'd have to trim that down to about 42, 45%.
Does that mean that my wife and I, for instance, 30 years married this year, have a 40 to 42% chance of divorcing?
Well, that's the interesting thing about that. Okay, so the 42, 45% likelihood of divorce rate is true. It is actual. But here's the kicker. It applies to nobody. Okay, so how in the world can that be? Well, just like the, you know, the insurance rate kind of life scale, everybody has different qualities in their life that either elevate or subtract from their risk of divorce. Now, you, being a good Lutheran guy and, you know, being committed Christian, here, you know, you and your wife have a common faith. You and your wife probably were not sexually active before married. You probably were not cohabiting before marriage. Curiously, and this is the data that I have in my article, curiously, couples who both smoke, more likely to divorce. Couples where only one of them smokes, more likely to divorce. So, you know, perhaps there are good Lutherans who smoke, right? But, you know, saying that that's not a part of your relationship. See, these there's a number of these qualities that can make your risk of divorce shrink tremendously. In fact, there are many people today, and many of them Christians are good Jews or Muslims perhaps, who nearly have a nil risk of divorce because they haven't lived together. They haven't been sexually active before they got married. They got married after age 20. They had their kids after they got married. They've got some kind of high school or college education under their belt. They're more likely to just simply be committed to marriage, ideally. They're more likely to have gone through premarital counseling, which reduces a couple's risk of divorce by about 30%. So there are these things that we do, decisions that we make for good or for bad, that either elevate or distract from our risk of divorce. So that's the good news of the article. I mean, it's fantastic news in the article. And I've got all that listed out based on science of what are these factors that contribute to high-risk divorce, and what are the factors that take away from it. And many of the readers will look at this list and they'll say, okay, you know, and even if they're going into marriage or anticipating marriage, it's something to look at the list and say, okay, we're sitting pretty well, and our risk of divorce, you know, is maybe 10%, 20% over a lifespan. And many people, it's much less than that.
One of the biggest factors you mentioned there in passing is cohabitation, even with the person that you end up marrying before marriage. What are the facts on that with regard to divorce risk?
Well, I mean, one of the worst things that people can do to sandbag their marriage, and they do it of their own free will and oftentimes thinking it's actually going to help to road test their marriage, is to cohabit. And the rates, I mean, the research on this is just absolutely unequivocal. The only debate in the research is actually how high it elevates your divorce risk and why it elevates your divorce risk. But the figures there are couples who cohabit before marriage are about 50 to 80% more likely to divorce than couples who have not. I mean, that's stunning. The average number is about 65% there. You know, studies are looking at that whole span and come up with different numbers. But yeah, there are very few things that couples can do to, again, sandbag their hopes for a happy lifelong marriage than living together. And unfortunately, I mean, about 60% of all marriages today are preceded by some form of cohabiting. And so we've got so many people, I mean, you know, basically it's, you know, you want a nice car that runs well. It was as if we would be doing something to our cars to help that we think are going to help them run better, but they're actually, our mechanics would go, oh my goodness, I mean, there's nothing more harmful than you than what you're doing to your car. We're doing those same things to our marriage prospects.
So is it possible, just from a statistical standpoint, that the now the very common practice of cohabitation in one form or another is artificially, well, it is truly driving up the divorce rate, but yeah, it is leading to the higher divorce rate as a single factor, perhaps not the only factor, but the single greatest factor driving up the divorce
rate. Well, you know what? I mean, it is. It is, most definitely. Kind of in a curious thing, though, the divorce rate in the United States, I mean, it started shooting up in the early 70s, and about 1985 or thereabout, it really started to level off, and it has leveled off generally since then and is state level, and in some ways it's starting to decline a little bit. Sociologists cannot figure out why that's the case. Part of it may be, and James Q. Wilson, who, you know, one of the brightest sociologists who's passed away now, he wondered if it was just simply more people cohabiting, not marrying. So, you know, if you have more people cohabiting, you're not having as many people divorcing. However, those cohabiting relationships are breaking up at tremendous rates because the cohabiting relationships are, one, more abusive. They are more limiting to women. Marriage is the relationship on the woman's terms. Cohabitation is the relationship on the male's terms, in terms of, you know, the basic male nature or essence desires little commitment. The woman, though, desires commitment. She wants commitment, and she is better protected and cared for when there is a high level of commitment in the relationship. Those are the differences between cohabiting and marriage, is the issue of commitment.
With only about a minute here, Glenn, how would you summarize the research here about not only the divorce rate, but the way that people who are looking at the prospect of marriage can say, you know, we want the marriage to be strong and to last? How would you summarize what you found?
Yeah, well, a lot of it has to do with the decisions that we make. And Todd, I mean, what's fascinating is, as a Christian, you find out this social science supporting exactly what Scripture says and what Christ teaches and commands, and, you know, what the New Testament commands for marriage is, you know, leaving and cleaving, leaving, you know, everybody else and cleaving to our spouse, not our live-in boyfriend or girlfriend, but our spouse. It just elevates every important measure of human well-being, and cohabitation distracts from that. So, I mean, you know, have people read the article and look at what are the decisions that you can and should make in terms of advancing your marital success in the future. And especially young couples and young unmarried individuals should pay attention to this sort of thing, because there are things that they can do to nearly guarantee their likelihood of marital success.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Global Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family, author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference, Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and an article for The Federalist titled Why Your Risk for Divorce is Probably a Lot Lower Than You Think. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Glenn, thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, you betcha, Todd. Thanks.
We're going to be talking about the Obama administration's legacy on religious liberty, which is, well, it has some very definite tone to it. Strong tone, a resounding tone, and repeated throughout the last 8 years. One might even call it an aggression against religious liberty. Andrew Walker of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission will be our guest.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.